This is a sermon from Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. Thank you for joining us. Learn more at wdmcovenant.org.
Follow along as I read 1 Samuel 3, verses 1 through 10. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord under Eli. The word of the Lord was rare in those days, and visions were not widespread. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his room. The lamp of God had not yet gone out, and Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of the God was. Then the Lord called, "Samuel, Samuel!" And Samuel ran to Eli and said, "You called for me." But he said, "I didn't call. Lie down again." So Samuel went and lay down. The Lord called again, "Samuel, Samuel, you called me." But he said, "I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel didn't know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not been revealed to him. The Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he got up and went to Eli and said, "For you called me." Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. Therefore Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and if he calls you, you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and lay down. Now the Lord came and stood there, calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel, speak, for your servant is listening." Thank you.
So sometimes I have conversations with people that sound like those people want to hear something from God, right? They want to be more sort of tuned in to what God is doing, to specifically what God is saying. They'd like to actually hear something from God. And now when somebody asks me, "How can I hear from God?" my first recommendation is don't. Yeah, I mean, be really sure that when you want to hear from God, you really want to hear from God, because you might not be pleased with what you end up hearing from God if you're really listening, right? If you're not really listening and you just want to, like, feel better, then we can work on that. But if you want to hear from God, brace yourself, because you might. So we have a story that we have read so far, the part we really like. The part we really like is this story of God speaking somehow in the night, in the mysterious darkness of Samuel's sleep. God speaks to him, and finally Samuel finds out how to listen, and he hears, and he presents himself before God. And that's great as far as it goes. But see, the problem is God is calling Samuel. And if you want to be called by God, well, watch out, because you might be. And if you want to be called by God, you might become a prophet. And the problem with being a prophet is that prophets are people who tell the truth. Prophets are people who tell the truth no matter what. And let me tell you, most of the time, you don't necessarily want to be in that boat. So, listen for the rest of this story. I have to say this story, not the story, because the other one's trademarked. So now the Lord came and stood there calling as before, "Samuel, Samuel." And Samuel said, "Speak, for your servant is listening." Then the Lord said to Samuel, "See, I am about to do something in Israel that will make both ears of anyone who hears of it tingle. On that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. For I have told him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Now, did you catch who Eli was as we began the story this morning? Eli is the priest. He's the priest of the Lord who is serving there in the tabernacle at Shiloh, and he's the only one. Well, then his sons after him, and Eli's getting old, and his sons are going to succeed him in the service of the Lord, and so they've been practicing, and they've been using their position for their own advantage. They've been using the special way that they have been entrusted with the ritual life of the people. They've been using that to enrich and gratify themselves. And if you want more of that story, go back and read 1 Samuel chapter 2, but I don't recommend it. So Eli's sons have botched this whole priesthood thing, and God is ready to come and make right. And that's the message that Samuel hears. But remember who else Eli is. Eli is Samuel's mentor, right? Samuel has been basically interning his entire childhood here in the tabernacle, and Eli has been his supervisor the entire time. And so Samuel gets this message from God. Remember, if you want to hear from God, if you want God to call you into something, watch yourself, because you just might get it. So God continues, where I interrupted God, I do that sometimes. God continues, "Therefore I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be expiated by sacrifice or offering forever." Samuel lay there until morning, which is what he's supposed to do, but I'm guessing he didn't sleep. Samuel lay there until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli, because remember who Eli is. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. Then he, that's Eli, said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." This is the word of the Lord. So, if you are interested, well, I should say, if you were interested in becoming a prophet before you came to worship this morning, I would imagine that you no longer are, right? And if you were interested in becoming a prophet, and you still are, then you shouldn't become a prophet because clearly you can't listen, right? You heard this story, and you heard this truth that Samuel has to go and tell to Eli. Samuel has to give his first prophecy to the person and about the person who has brought him up in the Lord's service, the one who taught him what the name of the Lord is. This is a painful message that Samuel has to deliver to Eli. And it's good practice because later on in Samuel's ministry, he's going to have to deliver other risky messages. Later on, this will be next week, Samuel is actually going to have to anoint a new king for Israel. But the problem is that there's already a king in Israel at that point in the story. There's not yet today, but we're going to skip a little bit here. But Samuel is going to have to offer some very difficult messages, because these are the messages about what God is doing to set the world back to rights. And the problem with God setting the world back to rights is that the people who thought they were on the right side of everything find out that perhaps they weren't. And this puts the messenger in a very difficult position. More on that next week. But Samuel's not the only prophet that this happens to. Later on, in the year, we're going to hear from John the Baptist, who was also a prophet who came to announce the coming of the kingdom of God, who came to lead the way for Jesus himself to come into the world. And that kingdom as it comes, that saving life of Jesus as it comes into the world will upset all of the ways that things are. All of what we expected and anticipated changes as we go through into the ministry of Jesus. And Jesus himself, of course, was also a prophet among all of the other roles that he fulfilled. And he came and he did what? He announced that the kingdom of God has come near, right? And he announced that I am the one who was coming. And how did that go for him? If you don't know, stick around in the spring. You get to find out how that went for him. But I will give you a clue. Don't become a prophet. So prophets are the people who tell the truth, no matter what. The people who, wherever they are and whatever is going on around them, they are listening and paying attention for what is actually true here. What is God actually doing right here in this moment? And let me tell you why you don't want to do that. You don't want to do that because you will find it terribly annoying, all of the everyday, ordinary dissembling that we do to get through life. All of the ordinary, everyday, yes, I'm fine, everything's okay, we'll be all right, lying to ourselves and each other that we do to get through life. Because prophets are the ones who know that it's not always all right. And prophets are the ones who know that God, in the end, sets things right. And prophets have to hold both of those truths together at the same time, all the time, as they go through life. When I try to tell the truth going through life, half the time I find myself in conflict with my own self, because I really am like not one of those people who seeks conflict. But when I tell the truth, well, I recognize where the conflict already exists in my life and in my world. And I try to tell the truth anyway. And I try to tell not just my own truth, because frankly, my own truth is already plenty well told most of the time. I try to tell the truth on behalf of the people whose voices are not as prominent as mine. And it gets worse. When I try to pay attention to what is really true, when I try to pay attention to what God is really doing in the world, I find that my own experience is constantly bumped out of the center of the universe. It's bumped out of the center of the universe by the experiences of those who are poor, by the experiences of those who follow other religions, by the experiences of those who go through the world with other races or sexual orientations or gender identities than I do. I find my experience picked up and moved somewhere off to the side because there is another experience that is not mine in the world. So try not to get called if you can help it. But it's all right, because if God calls you, you will probably miss it. Odds are you've missed it sometime already today, so you are off to a great start. I missed hearing from God for the sake of other people because I grew up with the experience that my own experience really was the center of the universe, that my experience really was normal, and everything else had to be sort of qualified in terms of the way it connected with my own personal experience. Or you can miss hearing from God. I miss hearing from God because I'm clinging so stubbornly to my own freedom of thought, my own ability to make sense of the world in my own terms. And I can miss hearing from those experiences and truths and realities that intrude on the way that I make sense of the world. But then I have heard from God. I have heard from God when I've come face to face with experiences very different from my own. The same kinds of experiences you may have come face to face with in El Salvador, or in a school, or in a hospital or in a shelter. You might miss hearing from God until someone opens your ears to what God has been saying all along. That's what happened for Samuel. Samuel heard from God, and he heard from God over and over again, and he thought it was who? He thought it was Eli, right? And so he'd jump up and he'd run to Eli's room in the middle of the night, and Eli would send him back to bed because it's the middle of the night. And finally, Samuel's ears were not just opened to hear God, but actually opened to listen, because he recognized who God was that was speaking to him. And who told him who God was that was speaking to him? Eli did. Eli, for all of his failings, for all of don't read chapter 2, that Eli is, Eli was still able to recognize, hey, I think this is, in fact, God speaking not to me, but to Samuel. And to his credit, Eli helps Samuel to hear and to respond to God's call. Eli seems like he's no longer actively listening for God, but he tells Samuel, hey, say to the Lord, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And Samuel does respond that way. And then finally, in the morning, Eli, who spent all night emphatically not calling for Samuel, finally in the morning, Eli calls for Samuel. Same exact words, Samuel! And Samuel says, here I am. And Eli says, now you've heard from the Lord, and you had better tell me everything that you heard from the Lord. And Samuel has this awful truth to lay on Eli, and Eli listens for it. And Eli hears that truth spoken through the voice of the one who he had been bringing up in the Lord's service. Eli hears and listens to that truth. So he teaches Samuel not just how to listen, but how to respond. Not just how to remain in that moment of listening, but how to speak the truth no matter what. Because that's what Samuel's called to do. Now, the other thing is, if the Lord calls you, even once you do hear it, you probably won't hear it in the form of a spoken voice in the middle of the night. Although, if you have, I want you to know I believe you. But you probably won't. You'll probably hear nudges and intuitions and ideas that won't let go and experiences that won't let go of you, things that you keep sort of chewing on and turning over and over again. And when you hear God's voice, you may not immediately recognize that it is God's voice. So I invite you to share whatever that nudge is, whatever that intuition is, whatever that thing that turns over and over in you, I invite you to share that with a trusted friend, with an advisor, with someone like the way that Samuel shared what he heard with Eli. Imperfect as Eli was, he was there, and Samuel could offer, hey, I'm hearing something here. Can you help me sort it out? You can share those nudges and those inklings even before you've quite figured out exactly what they're all trying to tell you, because like Eli, your friend may hear God speaking to you better than you can hear God speaking to yourself. So I want to share just a couple of nudges and inklings with you. These are things that I'm intuiting about who we are as Covenant Presbyterian Church. I hear God perhaps calling us into new relationships, not just new relationships with each other, but new relationships across generations with each other. The same actual kinds of relationships that Eli and Samuel had with each other. I think God may be asking us, how do we pass this faith, pass this relationship along, not just to those who are related to us, and certainly not just to those who are in the same generation as us, but how do we pass this faith along to those who are younger than we are? How do we pass this faith along to those who are older than we are? How do we share these relationships across those lines that otherwise would divide us from each other? And how do we share this faith? How do we share the relationships that are this faith with that community out there beyond us? Not just what are the relationships within covenant, but what are the relationships beyond covenant that we are being called into, that we are being invited into? What are those experiences that draw us farther into the world that God loves? And I trust, I see, I experience, as I have continued to get to know this congregation, I feel God's love continuing to be alive and at work among us in the ways that we get to know each other and in the ways that we express that we want to get to know each other. I recognize that there is, in fact, God calling here. And so far what I hear and so far what I intuit are kind of that vague, kind of that general. I don't have all of the answers for where exactly it is that we're being called or how exactly we are being called to be, but I trust that God is in fact calling. So please tell me what you hear. Tell me what you intuit. Tell me what you experience as you hear God calling us out into this world. Because if God calls you, I pray that you will share that call. I pray that you will share that call with the rest of us, and I pray that we together will be bold and gracious to follow. In Jesus' name, amen.